Good. Hey, I'm standing in for our founding pastor, Pastor Roland, this morning. He last minute wasn't feeling too well, so on Friday morning, our staff team came together and just decided to sub me in. Pastor Chris is obviously in speaking at another church. I guess you can call me the CRT for today, the Chris Roland Temp. So, but at the same time, I'm really excited. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to speak through me this morning, and I really believe He's got a word for you all. You know, it's funny because actually last week I really felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to share a word with the church, and I didn't realize how soon it would be. It would be basically the next week after that. But I'm here this morning. I want to encourage every single one of you guys here, whatever week that you've had, whatever it has looked like, I want to encourage you to lean into God's word. May His voice be louder than my voice this morning. Amen. 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 So, you know, I want to introduce myself because I'm not up here very often. I'm Jordan and I run the youth ministry here, my amazing wife Ruth. And yes, we are the ministry in charge for all the holes in the walls. If you've seen a hole in the wall, chances are it's been done on a Friday night by one of our teenagers. And we want to thank Pastor YC for covering our gaps every single time. but yes, we're really excited for this year, and you know, Fungus is here every Friday, 7 o'clock, come early for hang time. It's really great, okay? But hey, if you've joined us, you've joined us actually in the middle of our Eat Well series. Eat Well series. And actually, throughout this series, we look at the Bible and we look at the accounts of food. You know, trust FGA to do a series on food, right? And we're looking at the accounts and unpacking it as a means of explaining the gospel, the good news of Jesus, hence the food gospel analogy that we see there on the subheading. And, you know, church, I want to ask you first and foremost, what does your spiritual diet look like? And fundamentally, the culmination of our being is dependent on our choice of cuisine, right? This morning, God, He is actually looking for a people who aren't just present at the dinner table, but He's looking for a people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are desperate for Him. Amen. And the reality is, hey, He's actually got something good for you. He's prepared a meal better than, you know, your mom or your grandma. He's got something better for you. And He's got it there, and all you need to do is be hungry for it, be desperate for it, and He will give it to you. Food that is good for your soul. You know, as Megan was mentioning earlier, as a church, we've just kicked off this season of prayer and fast. And I want to encourage every single one of you guys to get behind this. You know, this is actually such a powerful thing that you as a follower of Christ can actually see breakthrough take place because of your obedience, because of sacrifice. And, you know, I've seen it take place in my own life, and if God can do it through me, He can definitely do it through you. You know, it's sort of like, you know, when you're hungry and you're so desperate for God, it's sort of like when you're hungry in the middle of the night, and I know all the young adults know this, when you're watching Netflix or you're watching Disney Plus, WandaVision has been great lately, and I got to do the Disney references while Chris isn't here, but you know, when you're hungry, you go to the fridge and you open the fridge because you want to get something to eat, and you're staring at the fridge and obviously there's nothing there, so you walk away, go back, watch TV, and you realize you're still hungry, so you go back to the fridge, you open it up, and you continue to look, thinking that something is going to come out, but you're still hungry. You're still hungry. And you know, when we starve, you know, it affects us, but when we're not present in the kingdom of God starves. And I wonder what would happen if we would actually make ourselves available this morning, church. In this season of prayer and fast, when we make ourselves available, I wonder what would happen in our lives. I wonder what would happen to this church. I wonder what breakthrough we would start to see in the kingdom of God that you have been wanting to see, but all it takes really is for you to be available. So in this season of prayer and fast, church, let us be available. Let us take this advantage to see a breakthrough in our lives. Amen. This morning, I actually want to be anchoring my message on John chapter 15. And our youth ministry has actually been going through John chapter 15 as well. So Fungus, if you're here, you got to help me preach this message. But I think it's actually such a foundational truth for us to really get in our spirit. And I think before I get into the details of it, I think it's really vital for us to understand the context of what's happening in this scripture. Here Jesus in John chapter 15, he's there, he's talking with the disciples, and he's having his final words with them before he dies on the cross. And throughout the book of John, Jesus actually talks about the great I Ams. We all know them, right? And here specifically in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about the last I am, which he makes mention of, which is, I am the true vine, abide in me. Or in other translations, it says, remain in me. And what does he say? He says, I will also remain in you. You see, I believe Jesus, he's saying these things because when we actually know who Jesus is, then in turn, we know who we truly are. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Therefore, we will never be hungry again. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Therefore, we will not have to walk in darkness alone again. Jesus says, I am the door. Just imagine going to someone and telling them, yep, I'm the door. Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Therefore, you have access to freedom. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Therefore, you are taken care of. What else does he say? He says, I am the resurrection life. Therefore, we have access to eternal life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Therefore, we have access to God. And then finally, ends in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine. Therefore, abide in me, and he will also abide in you. Let me read through John chapter 15 from verse 1 to 8. If I could get the scripture on the screen. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen, amen. Hey, let's pray. Lord, we invite you into this place. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are still at work here, even in the midst of this season that we're in, Lord. Father, right now, we just specifically want to pray for Pastor Roland and even for Auntie Eve, God, as they're recovering, and even as Pastor Chris goes out to speak in another church. Lord, may you go before them, and may you even bring forth restoration in their lives. And even this morning here in the building, and for those who are in the lobby and those tuning in online, Father, we just pray, Father, that you would really speak to them this morning. Speak to every single one of us personally, Lord. And we pray that, Father, you will bring forth a hunger in our hearts, that you bring forth a desperation in our hearts, Lord, to be filled by you, Lord Jesus. Right now, we declare, Lord, that you are Lord over our lives. And as I speak this morning, may you just speak through me. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. I like to give titles, and I'm sure you know the Jordan style by now, but hey, the title that I want to give you, if you're taking notes, is Jesus, the Real Source. And if you're in Fungus, you probably realize that, hey, he's flipped the message title differently, so that's it, Jesus, the Real Source. Now, throughout the scripture, I like to highlight three things, and specifically, these will be, I guess, in essence, call to actions. And the first thing that I wanted to highlight is this. We need to make sacrifices. We need to make sacrifices. Now, for those who are unaware, I'm a parent, And man, being a parent is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. And I've been privileged enough to lead these two boys on the screen you see here with my wife, Ruth. And Judah actually turned 3 on Tuesday. So it marks 3 years of fatherhood. And it's so good. And he's bringing his own set of challenges in this season. So please pray for us. But, you know, being a parent, man, things change forever. And I know parents are agreeing with me as I say that. And yesterday, I caught up with some of my friends that I used to dance with. And if you're not really familiar with me, I used to be an avid dancer. And my glory days have gone away, and I'm now living vicariously through my son. I know Roger's always getting me to dance in front of the stage, but I think I was traumatized from that 20th anniversary. So if you weren't there, ask Rog later on. But yeah, I caught up with some old friends yesterday and that I used to dance with. And it was funny, and I was reflecting after our conversation, because it's funny how things change when you become dads. You know, we were at the park and we were just talking not about dance practice or b-boy training, but now we're talking about potty training and training our kids to not wet the bed. And, you know, rocking up to jams and competitions now is rocking up to the park with our prams and our nappy bags on the side, right? And with our kids screaming in our ears. It's funny how things change over time and how much of a sacrifice we actually need to make. You know, it's funny for us to be what we are created to be who God called us to be, we actually need to make sacrifices. You know, like it is to be a parent, we need to make sacrifices in order to be the best parents that we can be. You know, I think specifically for Asians, we know what sacrifice is, especially for those who've migrated from overseas, having to give up a lot to give a good life to their children, or you may have parents who may have given up a lot. This idea of sacrifice resonates quite well with us, doesn't it? And at the same time, with sacrifice, there's this element of hope, isn't there? There's this element of hope. And likewise, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, there are things that need to be sacrificed, but at the same time, we are clinging on to the hope of Jesus. You know, the old ways, they just aren't going to cut it anymore. The old ways of life, you know, staying up late, playing video games, you know, till 2 a.m. You know, I went to supper the other day with our youth leaders, and it took me nearly 3 days to recover. Ruth was like, "You're never going to supper again." I'm not as young as I used to be. And, you know, moreover, I think part of making sacrifices isn't necessarily just about cutting things out, but it may also be a matter of just redirecting who we are placing our hope in. It's a matter of refocusing, because sometimes we are too preoccupied with our own ways that becomes our way of life. But you see, Jesus, what does he say? He says, apart from him, you can do nothing. Meaning without Christ, we are essentially in a state of spiritual lockdown, spiritual paralysis. And I'm sure we all know what being in lockdown is like, being the most locked down city in 2020 in the world. We all know what lockdown is. And without Jesus, we are in this state of paralysis, of lockdown, of being so alone. You know, Jesus says, apart from him, we can do nothing. And that's why he provides the answer. All it takes for us to be set free is to what? Remain in him. To reconcile ourselves to him. To the true vine. To the true source. In verse 8, subsequently, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And church, I'm sure we all know that when we don't cut things out of our lives, we realize that they in turn become idols. They in turn become the things that we put on the throne instead of Jesus. And in essence, Jesus, he calls us to be living sacrifices. And I want to challenge you right now, who is your God? Who or what have you placed on the throne of your life? Is it your career? Is it your finances? Is it your partner? Is it yourself maybe? What is it? Because you see, these things, they are good things. I'm not trying to say don't do these things. or don't associate yourself with these things. But what I want you to understand is that these things aren't the best thing. They aren't the true thing. They aren't the source of life that we all truly need. And the issue is that when we place our worth in anything else that isn't the true thing, the true source, they will inevitably fall short. And that's why Jesus says at the very start of John chapter 15 in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, in order to live a life for God, hey, we need to prune some things in our lives. We need to cut some things out of our lives. We need to cut it out. We need to claim the gardener's anointing. We need to claim the spiritual shears and equip it in our hands and cut things off. I know Pastor Weiss, he's always talking about maintaining his garden in our staff meetings. He's an avid gardener, and I want to encourage every single one of us here in this place to equip our gardening shears to cut things out, because you see, God is either going to cut it out if we don't do it. See, these things are actually causing us to live in complacency. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's, you know, an addiction that you're trying to deal with. Maybe it's bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart. Hey, these things might be something right now, this morning, that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to cut out, to take out of your life and replace with Him. And, you know, I really believe that's why we as followers, as believers, we can't just rely on a Sunday morning. We can't just rely for young people. We can't just rely on a Friday night. We can't just rely on an event for us to realize how broken we are, to realize how much we need restoration. You know, we need to constantly bring ourselves back to the cross. Not just on Easter, we need to realize what Jesus did for us so that we may be set free, so that we could have freedom, and bring ourselves every single day so hungry, so desperate for freedom, for life again. Amen. The second thing I wanted to highlight is we need to position ourselves for power. We need to position ourselves for power. Verse 9, it says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. How good is that? Over Christmas, me and Ruth actually acquired a new addition to the family. And no, she didn't have a baby. No, we didn't get a new pet. We actually got a robot vacuum. A robot vacuum. Hey, can we get a photo up on the screen? That is our robot vacuum, and I love him. I actually gave him a name. That's how much I love him. His name is Robbie. And Robbie the robot vacuum, if you don't know what a robot vacuum is, it's basically a robot vacuum. It's a vacuum that cleans for you, cleans the house for you. Basically, at 12 a.m. every day, it will automatically leave its place, start vacuuming the kitchen. It's amazing. If you're a parent and you don't have kids, my goodness, I want to encourage you to get one, because it's been a lifesaver. It's kept the house clean. But yes, that's Robbie. I love him so much. But and what I particularly love about him is that after every clean, Robbie, what he actually is created to do, he will actually return home to recharge. How cool is that? So see that thing there? He actually just goes back and he connects himself to that thing and he recharges ready for the next day. How cool is that? You know? And what's really cool about it is that every morning I come and attend to him, and I actually remove all the dirt, all the mess that he's accumulated throughout his journey cleaning our house. And mind you, we have a messy house. We've got a boy, and we've got two boys, and it's just really messy, and it gets really hectic. So I always got to clean him out. And what's even more amazing is that when his power is low, even during a clean, he will actually return home before he continues the job. How amazing is that? Man, technology these days, it's insane. And although there are times where Robbie, like in the morning, I'll attend to him at the thing and he's not there. And I'm like, oh no, he's gone somewhere. He's gone stuck. And then sometimes I find him under the couch. Sometimes I find him, he's gone caught on a shoelace, or he's got, you know, one of Judah's toys, you know, sucked up in the thing. So it's, now what I'll need to do is I'll need to manually pick him up, clear out all the mess so that he can return to finish his job or either return back home. Sounds like some of our lives, doesn't it? You know, we go through accumulating a lot of stuff, a lot of mess, and there are a lot of times where we actually choose to not go home, or we actually get stuck along the way. But what I want us to understand is that God, He makes Himself available. God makes Himself available so that we can be renewed, so that our hearts can be purified, and that He can remove all the mess that we've accumulated along the way. You see, what I want you guys to understand is Robbie's ability to do what he was created to do is dependent on his ability to remain back home. Come on now. Church, you see, in the same way, your ability to remain in God enables you to do what you were created to do. See, church, there is more to life than just getting a good job, getting a great house, getting the best ATAR, you know, getting popularity at school, you know, to just have power and be completely successful in life. There is more to life than that, and you need to know that God has more for you. And when you position yourself to receive from God, I guarantee you that there is more. It's like when you go to Macca's, and you buy a large double quarter pounder meal. That's my go-to. Always hits the spot. Always hits the spot. And, I always eat the chips first. So by the time I even get to my burger sometimes, I've already finished the chips. But there's always a glimmer of hope. You know, every time you take out the food from the bag, there's always those chips at the bottom of the bag. Now, church, what I want you to understand is that, hey, God has got a surprise for you. He's got more for you. And, hey, there's a little bit of chips under the thing that you've been, you know, too preoccupied this morning. God has got more for you. And you see, when you plug into God, in turn, what actually happens is that He creates a bridge. He creates a bridge for the world around you to know of His hope, to know about who God is. And maybe God has actually given you a situation right now. He's given you a circumstance right now, and you're trying to grapple with it. You're trying to deal with it yourself. And you're just questioning God, why am I going through this? But you see, oftentimes when we find ourselves in these situations and we start to question God, He actually just wants us to realize that He's capable. He wants us to understand that He is able to get us through it. He's got the power that we've been looking for. And I want us to get this. It's not you. It's not your wisdom. It's not your strength. It's not your good skills, your good looks, whatever it is. It's none of that. But it's Him through you. It's Him through you. And now in verse 12, Jesus then goes on to say, what does He say? He says, love each other as I have loved you. Why does He say this? Because love is powerful. Love is powerful. Love is why the church exists. Love is why we're here this morning. Love is why we have access to freedom. Love is why we've been given a second chance. Love is what saved us from an eternal suffering. So church, I want to encourage every single one of us, let us not be so preoccupied with the religion of church, with the routine of church, that we forget what we were actually called to do, and that is to love each other as He has loved us. I believe that when we continue to be obedient to Jesus, that there's actually going to be a shift. You know, like we're going on this prayer and fast, hey, I guarantee you there's going to be a shift in your life that you've never seen before. You know, you're not for yourself, not just for yourself, rather, but for your irresponsible children, for your stubborn spouse, for your unbelieving workmates. Hey, I'm believing that same shift is going to take place in even those people's lives. I'm believing that the world around you will know of His love because you had the audacity to position yourself and to seek after God. To have faith in Jesus means we are proactive. We are proactively positioning ourselves to seek after Him. Jesus, He doesn't necessarily promise us that, hey, life is going to be butterflies and rainbows, that life is going to be easy, it's going to be, you know, always happy. And arguably in verse 11, He does say that your joy will be complete, but can I say right now that there's a difference between the joy of the Lord and what this world upholds as true happiness. You know, happiness is circumstantial, but you see, the joy of the Lord is based on hope, it's based on faith, and it is unconditional. Joy says, even though that my circumstance is hard right now, even though I may not get the job that I want right now, even though that I am feeling depressed right now, I will choose to be glad and rejoice, for He is with me. Amen? That's the joy of the Lord that He promises us. And in verse 13, He continues and He says, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. We can agree that we need Jesus to love, right? We need Jesus to love. Loving people is hard. Loving people is difficult. And the reality is we're all broken. And that's why we need perfection personified in us, in order to love like Jesus. And can I say, that's where we're going to find true joy. That's where we're going to find the joy of the Lord, when we love like Jesus because of how He loved us. And I know there are people in this place that might be thinking, how can I love that person? How can I love them for what they did to me? For what they did to my family? What they did to my friends, maybe? But maybe a better question for us to be asking is, why should God love you? Why should He love me? Why should He love us? But yeah, He does, doesn't He? He loves us. And you see, your ability to actively seek God can actually in turn fuel your ability to reach people. And if we're going to do this effectively, we need Jesus. Amen. We need Jesus because our lives need to reflect Jesus, remember? We need to reflect Christ. And Jesus says, even in John chapter 13, which is two chapters previously, in verse 35, He says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world, not your ability to memorize, you know, the Bible from back to front, not because you have perfect attendance at church, but because you love them, the way you show them. And a lot of people are, you know, hesitant to tell people about Jesus, but can I say, your actions often speak louder than words. And church, can I even encourage you to, even in this season, to establish healthy routines? You know, this prayer and fast might actually be exactly what you need. Be exactly what you need to get that revival in your heart. You know, me and Ruth, actually, last year during lockdown, during the Kickstart series, we we really need Jesus. And, you know, it was really difficult, especially with the boys at home. Judah was not a daycare, and my goodness, if you know my son, it was hard on us. And it took a bit of a toll on us as well. But we decided to make a decision during that series to commit one night, which ended up being our Monday nights, to dig deeper in prayer than we have ever done before. And you know, ever since then, it has become a part of what we do in our family. And ever since then, you know, I can guarantee you, I can testify right now that God shows up every single time. Even though that Judah is getting on our nerves and is always just screaming and, you know, making a mess. And even though we've had a really rough week, we would commit to that time every single time. Our flesh is weary, but God shows up every single time. I want to encourage us to take this as a season where we make a sacrifice. We position ourselves for power because God always shows up. You know, all it takes for a fire to catch a blaze is a small spark. All it takes for, a bushfire is a tiny flame. And can I encourage you for that flame to rekindle this prayer and fast season, church? Man, there's going to be a fire here in FGA, amen? There's going to be a fire that's going to sweep across this place, not because you are so eloquent in how you preach or how you pray, but because of the Holy Spirit that is in you. You know, me even standing up here speaking to you all, I am so humbled every single time because who I was would not be here preaching the way that I'm preaching. It is the Holy Spirit who's speaking through me. And the fact that I even prepared a message in such short notice proves to you and is a testimony of what the Holy Spirit can do if you just make yourself available. Come on, church. See, the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life ultimately is measured by how much of your life is being consumed by him. Show me the fruit, church. Where's the fruit at? Where's the fruit? Where's the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in your life? Now, as a church, we're going through Galatians. And specifically, we all know this one in chapter 5, verse 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit. And if you're in kids' ministry, try not to sing the song while I'm reading it. But it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that, hey, when you accept Christ into your life, you in turn get the Holy Spirit. You in turn receive his Spirit. It's like a 2-for-1 combo, or 3-for-1, I guess. But the fruit of your life is actually also a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Remember, Jesus says earlier in John chapter 15, he says, "Remain in me." And what does he say? "And I also remain in you." That means that when we have the Spirit in us, hey, we look more like Jesus. We look more like Jesus because we have the fruit of the Spirit. We can love better. We can have more joy. You know, not just happiness, but we're always joyful. You know, we have the peace that surpasses all understanding. We have patience even to our kids, our spouse, the people that just get on our nerves. We have this kindness that we show to others even though they may not deserve it, right? We have goodness, which is this integrity to, you know, live a life that of righteousness that God called us to live. You know, faithfulness, which is where we choose Jesus even when the world tries to get our attention. And we have self-control, which says, you know, I want to refuse myself, deny my flesh and say yes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is what produces the fruit in our lives that we want to see. And in actual fact, we may have just been doing it wrong. We may have just been relying on ourselves, relying on that prayer meeting at the start of service for our prayer fix for the week. Maybe it's been a matter of you just picking up your Bible on a more regular basis and getting that download from God. Getting that word to encourage you and fuel you for the rest of the week. See, if you're You know, one of my favorite quotes is this, is if you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to power. Let us not be a church that is unfamiliar with power, yeah? Let us be a church that is so you know, in tune with power that we, as a result, continue to pray and to get access to that. Let us be so consumed with God that we are propelled to speak to Him through prayer, to have that dialogue with Him, to have a war room, you know, where you're praying in the closet, where no one else is, no distractions, and you're fighting through the power of prayer. And I want to encourage you all to be fasting in this time. You know, fasting is more than just a diet, but hey, it's power as well. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, and this is where Jesus, prior to this, he was baptized and the Spirit of God descended on him from the heavens like a dove. And this is what it says in verse 1. This is Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered them, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, the enemy is always going to try and get our attention. The enemy wants to distract us from having our eyes fixed on Jesus, the true source. But you see, it's in those moments where we're digging deep, we're fasting, we're sacrificing something that is close to ourselves for the glory of God. Hey, that's where we'll realize the power that we have access to. Come on. And I love that Jesus, he isn't all talk. He isn't just someone that says, yep, go and do it. But hey, he actually walks the walk. And as a result of that, I truly believe that is why he is worthy of our worship. That is why he is worthy of our praise. That is why I want to get up and sing every time that we have worship here in this place. You know, I want to do that because of what God has done for me. You know, Jesus, he even goes to the point where he doesn't just call you on a mission, but he even goes with you. How amazing is that? He doesn't just leave us to our own demise, but he is actually there with us. He responds, he reciprocates by saying, when you trust in me, when you remain in me, hey, what? Guess what? I'm going to remain in you also because I have the power. I have what you need. You cannot do it alone. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why we need Jesus. Can I encourage you in this season of prayer and fast? Hey, let's get on it. Let's get behind it. I encourage you after this service at 12, you know, we're going to go from 12 to 1. Hey, let's use that as that little spark that we need to catch a flame this year. Amen. We have literally set you up to win. Now it's the ball's in your court. It's time for us to position ourselves. Amen. Awesome. Hey, I'm going to come to an end. I want to invite the worship team up. As I wrap this up, how am I doing for a last-minute message, church? It's all Jesus. I don't know how I'm doing this. The last thing I wanted to highlight is that we are chosen for greatness. We are chosen for greatness. Verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." I want to end by illustrating, a quick illustration with a kumquat tree that I have at my house. And if you're a Filipino, I'm Filipino, for those of you who are wondering. For some reason, at their house. It's just a part of life if you're a Filipino. You either sing, dance, and have kumquat tree, right? But, you know, if I could go to the first slide, actually. This is my sad little kumquat tree. And, you know, over the time that I've had it for, I reckon nearly 3 years. And it hasn't gotten any bigger. And as you can see, I've just given up on it. Over that time, guess how much fruit it has produced? A better one. It's produced one kumquat ever since we got it. Now, contrast that to the other slide. Now, this is my parents. Shout out to Ruth's parents at the back. They have, this photo does not do it justice, but they have this grand kumquat tree at their house. And, you know, when me and Ruth started dating, it was always like a place where we would just hang out, even hang out with my nephews. And even Ruth herself would have grown up with it. And I've seen my nephews reap the benefits of it. And now even my own son, that's Judah from like ages ago, he's still a baby and still, you know, controllable. even my own children have been able to reap the benefits of this kumquat tree. And you know, this tree is actually so big as well that the fruit at the top is virtually impossible to harvest at times because there's just so much fruit. There's so much of an abundance of fruit. And church, why I wanted to illustrate this, why I wanted to make the contrast is this. If you are here, are you going to be like a kumquat tree that just sits on the side, that just takes up place, and that withers away, only producing one fruit? Or are we going to be a church? Or are we going to be a people that is so abundant in fruit that we are constantly producing fruit that is so hard to keep up with, but at the same time, we are drawing people in. We are drawing people in and giving our fruit, not for the sake of ourselves, but for the sake of loving other people. Come on, church, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to produce fruit this morning. Let's be a church that is so abundant because of what God is doing in us, because we have the audacity to attach ourselves to Him. Come on. I'm believing FGA. Hey, we're going to come out of this season so on fire for God, so hungry for God, that, hey, we're going to look different. We're going to have that weird Christian smile that people look at and they're going to be like, what's wrong with him? But you know, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the joy of the Lord. Amen. See, when Jesus says that we didn't choose Him and He chose us, He actually just wanted to encourage us that He would help us. You know, He doesn't leave us to our own demise, like I said, but He's a God that chooses us and He also goes with us. And parents, we all know what this means when we choose our children and they don't want to go with us, they don't want to respond to us, but yet we continue to choose them anyway. We continue to love them anyway. You know, through that, the Holy Spirit does something powerful. And when we continue to avail ourselves, Jesus, He responds by saying, hey, I'm there with you. Hey, I'm there to help you, no matter what you're going through. You know, as parents, we have this reputation that we want to keep. But at the same time, hey, God's glory is at stake. But the difference is between us and Jesus is that He is infinite in every way and we will inevitably fall short. That's why we need to plug ourselves into Him. We need to realize He's chosen us for greatness. And I'm believing that we're going to see breakthrough in our lives. So church, I want to encourage you to stand wherever you are in this place. You know, we're going to sing this song. This song promises. And let this be an opportunity for you to tap in to what God has for you. He's chosen you for something bigger. He's chosen you for something better than you could have ever comprehended. And maybe it's just a matter of digging deeper and reaching your hand into the bottom of the bag and hey, there's something there. So as Hubert sings this song promises, may you be reminded of God's promise. That He's never left you, even though you may have left Him, that you may have fallen away, you've detached yourself from Him. Hey, He is going to go with you. He's going to go before you, and that is His promise. So let us sing this song, a powerful song, a powerful declaration of us saying yes to Jesus. So come on, Hubert, let's just sing it out. Come on, let's sing it. If you're comfortable, just lift your hands to Him. Come on, let's declare it. Sing louder than you ever sung before. Let's go. thankful that you have been burdened by. Let's attach ourselves to Him. Let's attach ourselves to Him. Come on, church. Ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. Therefore, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, we represent Christ, church. We are His ambassadors. And just as Paul implores the church in Corinth, I want to implore you, FGA Melbourne, which is basically begging you earnestly to be reconciled to God. Reconcile, meaning to reattach ourselves to God. Us as mere branches. And when we attach ourselves to Him, hey, that's where we come alive. Amen. So church, right now, whatever you have gone through, wherever you have, you know, found yourself, wherever you found yourself right now, use this right now as an opportunity to reattach yourself. To plug yourself into Jesus, the true source, the true vine. And as a result, may He abide in you. So come on, let's just lift up our hands as a sign of surrender. And let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father. Lord, we are mere branches. Why would You choose us? Lord, we thank You that You would even give us this opportunity, Lord, to have access to You. Lord, You did not just choose us, but Lord, You called us and You also commissioned us. And You also go with us, Lord. And we thank You, Father, that no matter what season, no matter what circumstance we are facing, let this be the catalyst, Lord, for the rest of 2021. As we continue to dig deep in prayer, as we continue to deny ourselves, as we continue to make sacrifices at Your feet, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray You would give us the power to do that. Because without You, Jesus, we can do nothing. Father, I pray, Lord, and for those who have just fallen short, for all of us who have fallen short, we've detached ourselves from You for way too long. And Father, right now, we want to reattach ourselves to You, Lord Jesus. We want to get plugged back into You, Lord Jesus. We want to cut away everything that is not of You, Lord Jesus. And we want to redirect our gaze onto You, Lord Jesus, so that we may be able. So Father, give us the strength when we have no strength. Give us the power when we feel like we can't go on. Father, we need You. Help us in our world, in our families, in every single aspect of our lives. Holy Spirit, help us to produce an abundance of fruit. Lord, we need You, and we thank You for what You're about to do in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, FGA said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, this is the part where I transition into the close of the service. But before I do that, I want to encourage you, if you want to get prayed for, if there's something that you want to get to lay at the feet of the cross, I want to encourage you, we have a prayer ministry that is more than happy to pray for you. And can I say, there is power in prayer. And I want to encourage you to come to the front. They'll come here and they'll pray for you. And hey, there's something so powerful when you take it off your shoulders and you let a friend come and bear that weight with you and lift it up to Jesus. So I want to encourage you to come to the front. We've got a prayer team. But hey, more importantly, hey, after service, 12 p.m.